Hey, this is Randall.
And this is John.
From the Don't Wake the Kids podcast.
You're listening to our favorite podcast,
Weird. I hope you're ready for some funny.
Ace Podcast.
Weird.
This is crazy. We've only gone 4 days.
4 days, and look, we're back.
We're back already.
We're back with episode 109.
109. You know, that's 109's a good number. You know why?
Why?
No, we already did that in the last one.
I like 409.
That cleans really
it's so
good.
And it smells fresh.
And 109 is also a
and
highway.
Pleasant.
It's a highway.
Yeah, highway 109.
Life is a highway.
409 was also a car, I believe, back in the 60s. So. Yeah.
I don't know about that.
409, yes.
I think you made that up.
Nuh-uh. 409. There was a Beach Boys song.
Would you maybe say that number 4 or 5 more times?
This is episode 109.
109.
Yeah.
This is coming up 4 days after you just heard from us last.
That's right. Friday. Happy Friday,
Happy
everybody.
Happy Friday.
By the way, this is not only is this 109, Craig, but if you go to our website, you can see the show notes for this episode, this very episode right now, 109, at weirdnewspodcast.com.
If I go right now, I can see it.
Yeah, right now, weirdnewspodcast.com. Plus, you can leave us a voicemail by just clicking the little button, or you can go to our Facebook page, click the little button, leave us a voicemail.
Yeah, because we discussed that last time about how that's kind of elusive.
Yeah, but it's easy. It's actually
easier. Apparently there's a button there that I can't see.
You don't need a number anymore. This is 2017, man. Anyway, you got top story this week?
Talking down to me.
No.
Top story.
A jogger dubbed the Mad Pooper
is
terrorizing Colorado Springs.
I bet.
Terrorizing may be an overstatement.
No, that's kind of terrorizing me, and I'm nowhere near Colorado Springs.
I mean, it's terrifying. It's disturbing.
I'll tell you what's disturbing is the fact that we didn't even do this. That's disturbing.
But honestly, you know, a guy with a gun running through the city, that's terrifying. You don't know where he's going to pop up. A guy pooping.
Pooper?
That's just not scary.
That's scary.
What was a clown?
Ooh.
Pooping rainbows.
That'd be funny.
Pooping rainbows. Anyway, there's some, by the way,
yeah.
I don't know if they can pick up on the mics this. There are some loud people in the studio tonight.
Yep.
And we're about to go next door and the heads are going to roll.
And, you know, the Lee Berry Studios, there's a rich history at Lee Berry Studios, and it's not like newfangled soundproofing like they used to have. You used to just have.
It's good old asbestos.
Yes.
Yes.
But, you know, back in the old days, one group would record and then another would come in and record. They may choose a different studio because of the equipment. But nowadays, everybody wants to record at the same time.
And there's some common courtesy. Normally, for some people.
Sure.
But not tonight.
Obviously not.
Anyway, there's no use trying to skirt around this. Not the guys being loud, but this story.
Yeah.
So let's cut straight to the chase. Colorado Springs woman has been taking big craps.
Gross.
In front of someone's house for a few weeks now.
This is weird.
They're calling her the Mad Pooper, and she won't stop.
She's mad, man.
The cops are involved. It appears to be some sort of revenge pooping. I hope you enjoy this report from local CBS outlet KKTV as much as I did. I didn't.
No.
Whoever wrote this said that.
Exactly, yes.
The goofy guy who said, it's not a natural thing we do in our society to drop your trousers and to relieve yourself right there when you know people are around.
So she doesn't care. She doesn't care. She'll stop, drop, and drop.
Yeah, she starts making the poops.
Yeah.
We called the Colorado Springs Police Department, who confirmed that this is indeed a real case being handled by the CSPD's Falcon Division. It's the Falcon Division because they can fly above.
You don't want to be on the ground.
No, the Falcons can fly above the city, and they can see when someone's pooping.
Yeah, right. Unless it's like the Atlanta Falcons, then they can't very well do much of anything.
I don't understand sports analogies.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Pretty much every quote from this story is magnificent. They are like, there's a lady taking a poop. So I come outside and I'm like, are you serious? Bud recalled. Are you really taking a poop right here in front of my kids? She said, yeah, sorry.
Good
it's
night.
It's abnormal. It's not something I've seen in my career. Sergeant Jonathan Sharketti. What a name.
Oh, I wish my name was Sharketti. Even Jonathan Sharketti.
Sharketti.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
What's for dinner? You know what that is? That shark meat with spaghetti.
It's Sharketti.
You can have some Sharketti, yeah. Right,
write that down.
Got it.
Right, write it
Got
down.
It.
For someone to repeatedly do such a thing, it's uncharted territory for me. There's plenty of public restrooms less than a block away from where she's targeting. This is intentional.
Target.
Well, obviously it's intentional.
Yes.
As the TV report indicated, the woman has also been seen Pooping in a Walgreens and in nearby backyards, the presence of bathrooms close by, and her propensity for repeat turds clearly shows she doesn't care about signs, warnings, completing the rest of her runs with mud butt.
Gross.
We just had a first on the show.
Yes, we did.
Or the stigma of a society enamored with joggers taking drive-by poops in and around their properties. She even brings her own toilet paper. The only questions that remain are mechanical and motivational.
So it's not like a homeless person. This
the
is
only
a,
questions that remain are mechanical and motivational. What does that mean?
Yeah, I don't know, but I don't want to dig too deep into it. You know what I'm saying? Yo.
All right, I smell something. I smell a clown story.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Well, the headline is, a father put on a clown mask to punish his six-year-old.
You know what, though?
What?
That may not be a law he's breaking, other than just being a jerk.
Yeah.
That's traumatizing.
That is terrible. It really is traumatic.
That is. That's terrible.
But now he's being charged with inducing panic.
Inducing panic.
Yes.
I guess that is a stretch.
But well, this story, I mean, you'll see what we're talking about here. An Ohio man who tried to discipline his six-year-old daughter, no less, not his son, by chasing her around in a clown mask has been charged after she ran screaming to a stranger's apartment, prompting that neighbor to fire a gunshot into the air.
Okay, that person's the one that needs to be put away.
Well, what are you going to do? I mean, if a little girl runs to your door and says, there's a crazy clown chasing me.
I'm pretty sure if I'm her dad and you just aim it at me, I'm going to say, okay.
Well,
stop.
The incident
Unless
occurred,
I'm on some of that spice.
The incident occurred just before 10 p.m. So this little six-year-old should have been in bed
two hours ago.
When 25-year-old Vernon Barrett
Vernon,
Jr.
Vernon, I swear.
VBJ. Donned a clown mask and began chasing his young daughter outside their apartment in Boredom Township. So it's supposed to be a prank, Barrett told the police later. A way to get the child to behave without reporting to a spanking.
Resorting to spanking,
yes. A police report did not...
I just didn't want them to report a spanking.
Oh, no. A police report did not specify why he was trying to discipline his daughter. Instead, the frightened child ran to a female stranger's car nearby, jumped inside, and said she was being chased by a clown.
Okay, that would terrify the person in the car.
Absolutely. That woman later told police that the man wearing the clown mask pulled the child out of the car.
Just got real.
Unsure of what was happening, the woman called 911. I don't want to be named.
Okay, now this is a person who does not want a name.
No, I know. It's so sad.
No, I mean, everybody else doesn't have a choice.
She has a choice and
doesn't want one.
The witness told the Washington Post on Monday when reached by phone, but I could tell you it scared the bejeebers out of me. In the time it took the officers to arrive, the child ran to the adjacent apartment of 48-year-old Dion Santiago and declared that she was scared and asked whether she could stay there because a clown was chasing her. Santiago turned off the lights, looked out of his apartment window, and observed Barrett standing outside of the building with the clown mask on.
The idiot never took it off.
No, it's, something's not right here. Responding officer
What if it was just his face?
Santiago then grabbed his firearm and fired a shot out of his window.
Okay, that bullet's got to go somewhere.
It does, but who can blame him? I mean, this has got to be a...
Shoot the clown.
Shoot something. When officers responded to the scene, Santiago
Poke him with a snake.
And Barrett were yelling at each other, the former still standing at his window, the latter still wearing a clown mask.
So he gets shot at and still doesn't take the mask off.
And the girl remained too afraid to come out. The child was identified in the incident report only by her initials. I attempted to call JB to let her know that it was okay and that it was just her father, O'Grady wrote. However, JB ran into the back bedroom of the apartment. She eventually emerged after a woman in Santiago's apartment escorted her out, police said. O'Grady wrote that he had to physically separate Barrett and Santiago and call for backup because the two neighbors were getting into a heated argument, with Barrett insisting Santiago had fired his gun at him.
Well, that's what they said, right?
Correct.
Hmm.
Interesting.
I really, honestly,
yeah?
I got nothing for that.
That's just a bizarre, weird story.
You really just can't. You just really can't follow up, and there's no commentary.
No.
It is what it is.
It had self-contained commentary.
It really, really did. Hey, man smashes impossible 7,500-calorie Big Mac challenge in just 5 minutes.
Oh, my gosh. I
slumped over dead 3 minutes later.
I could try this. I think I could pull this off.
A man has achieved online fame for compete. We've talked about this. You shouldn't eat on dares or,
no.
competitive food.
No.
You're just going to hurt yourself.
That's true.
A man has achieved online fame for completing the impossible Big Mac challenge in just 5.5 minutes. The surprisingly slim YouTuber, Matt Stoney, that says a lot, managed to consume 4 Big Macs, 4 large French fries, and 4 large vanilla milkshakes in the timed eating challenge, which has been viewed almost 2 million times online. Matt, who was aiming to beat rival Leah Schutkever's time of 6 minutes, 15 seconds, managed to finish the 7,480 calorie fast food feast in just 5 minutes and 31 seconds. The McDonald's food challenge started well, with Matt successfully scoffing 4 Big Macs and a milkshake in just under 40 seconds. However, the French fries proved to be more of a challenge, with Matt resorting to taking fistfuls of the potato snack and shoving them into his mouth before trying to wash them down with the thick milkshake. You know, that's a shame, too, because when those fries are hot, they're good.
Oh, they're real good.
When you're going to shovel them in your face that fast, that's just wasting a fry that's lived its whole life as a potato waiting for this moment.
Yeah, it's sad.
And you just ruin it.
It's disrespectful.
You hit it right there.
Yeah.
He finished the trial. He was in a trial?
Yes.
By downing the 2 remaining large vanilla milkshakes, finishing both in just over 20 seconds?
Yes.
And displaying an impressive milkshake mustache. I think the milkshake mustache should have been part of it that he had to eat.
It should have been.
Because
it's part of the shake.
Part of the shake.
No doubt.
Reigning victorious, Matt said, well, that's it. That's the impossible. It's not the impossible Big Mac challenge.
Oh, I see. So he's saying that's what they call
the
impossible.
They call it, but that's not what it is.
But it's not.
It's the possible Big Mac challenge, but it might make you feel full.
Yeah.
Probably made him feel like he wanted to vomit.
Yes, I would think, or go to sleep somewhere and not wake up.
Ever.
Headline is, man who didn't want to drink alone breaks in with beer. Police say a drunken Pennsylvania man who didn't want to drink alone has forced his way into a woman's home and sat down with
this has happened a lot. Just make, the guy that was naked playing soccer in the backyard.
That's right. Last episode.
Made his way into the house.
39-year-old Sean Haller of Stewartstown faces charges including criminal trespass and remained in the York County Jail on Monday. Southern Regional Police say a woman called them on September 12th to report that Haller had entered her home and refused to leave. Police say Haller had done the same thing to another woman's home earlier that day. So this guy is lonely, and he thinks if he has beer, people are just going to let him stay. And it may work in certain parts of the world.
If he truly only wants to drink beer with someone, all he's got to do is go to a college campus.
That's true. Police said that they found Haller in the second woman's home and say he refused to leave, even though there were children inside. The officers said that they had to go inside and take him out of that one, Craig.
You gonna be all right over there, buddy?
Yeah, yeah.
Aaron's over here coughing and hacking.
Yeah, we keep having to take breaks because, good grief, I think I'm all talked out.
Yeah, which is really a dream come true for a lot of people. Gas station robbery suspect's getaway car runs out of fuel. That's poor planning.
That is sad.
That's honestly,
you were just
planning.
There, man.
You were right.
Fill up.
Authorities say an Indiana man who robbed a gas station made off with food, drinks, and cigarettes. What he didn't steal was gas. The Northwest Indiana Times reports that a state trooper arrested 33-year-old Sean Harris on Wednesday after finding him stranded by the side of a 2-lane highway with his vehicle out of fuel. Police say the South Bend area's man's blood alcohol level was above the legal limit.
Sure it was.
Authorities say Harris was arrested not long after he entered the La Crosse gas station. That's where they run around with those sticks with the nets on the end of them. Implied he had a gun and took the items. Records show Harris is being held in LaPorte County Jail. So this weird story really just consists of poor planning.
Yes.
Guy wants to rob a store, and doesn't bother to see if he's got gas in his car.
No.
He probably would have got off scot-free.
Sure he would. He was just right there. And you claim you don't know anything about sports, but you know about the La Crosse gas station.
Maybe.
Headline
is the only gas station I know where they play that game.
Headline is, dog that disappeared in Florida in 2016 is found, you know where, Craig? In New York.
Oh, wow.
A dog that disappeared in Florida February 2016 has been found in New York. A woman who says she found the German Shepherd Jack Russell Terrier Mix. Terrier.
More like terror.
Really? With German Shepherd Jack Russell Terrier Mix. That's got to be a funny looking dog. Brought it last week to a Long Island and New York City rescue group called Bobby and the Strays.
Well, they used to be a nightclub act.
Yes, they did. Which traced its microchip, tracked it down to the astonished family in West Palm Beach, Florida.
They were astonished.
You know what? This dog, last week.
It's like Homeward Bound.
It was still in Florida, but it said, this hurricane's coming. I'm taking off to New York.
He said, I'm going to go take a trip.
Absolutely.
He said, I deserve it.
And by golly,
I'm going to take it.
I'm going.
I've been saving
way.
Some bones in my doghouse for a while. I got the money. I'm going to go.
I had said many times they're going to find that dog. They may not find that dog alive, but somehow, some way, they're going to find the chip on that dog, and they're going to be calling us. Rick Monick told the Associated Press in a phone call on Saturday. Nonetheless, the news came as quite a shock.
Well, I mean, these chips, you know, when they work good.
Speaking
don't they?
Of that, yeah, when they work. But my dog Lily is supposed to be chipped, and I took her to the vet, and they were going to record her number for my local vet. Couldn't find a chip.
Well, they can put one in real quick, right?
Yeah, they can, but this one we'd already paid for, so it's supposed to be in there. She was supposed to have been shipped.
Who was responsible for that? The shelter?
Yeah.
Well, then I'd be going back to the shelter.
Yeah, I'm
going
to have to do that. So I never have expected, you know, that we'd end up kind of gave up on this poor little puppy, said Monick. After this much time had gone by, you just move on with your life. So 2016, it hadn't even been a year. I think I'd still be looking.
Yeah, I'd probably be hopeful anyway.
Yes. Monick told Newsday, which first reported the story, that his family adopted the beautiful and well-behaved dog named Relay as a puppy in 2014. One day, Relay set off to explore. It was a relay race is what it was.
Yes.
And he just never came back. I think she's a wanderer, Monick told the AP, and I think she has just...
Like I said, they actually gave the dog a message, and the dog was relaying it.
That's exactly...
The dog
was
going to go to New York and deliver the message.
It was an opportunist dog and happened to see that it could fit underneath our gate, so the family...
I got those at home.
Yeah, they scoured the area, and they put up flyers. They did everything you do.
Why do you put flyers? The dog can't read.
The lady at the gas station says she saw a man call the dog over and walk away with the dog. A blurry video appeared to show a man putting Relay into his car. So the story just took a different turn.
Oh, it got insidious.
Relay hitched a ride is what it was.
Yeah.
He had a conversation with this man. So in addition to the chip, Monick said Relay had left home wearing a brand new collar, a leather collar with his name in brass.
What's a her, but okay.
And yeah, her name, I'm sorry, and his son's name, address, and phone number.
So the dog even had credentials.
Yes.
And the guy didn't bother to call.
Yeah, had ID right there on his collar, her collar. However, the dog got to New York. It's about to experience some more mileage. Bobby and the Strays has been looking for a volunteer to drive Relay to Florida. We'll just put her at a gas station.
Put her in the band's van.
Sure. They don't use it anymore.
Yeah.
Monick told Newsday it's unbelievable that his family will be reunited with the dog that we love so much.
Reunited.
You know, it feels so good.
Research on big ears.
Ooh, I could talk on that.
Crocodile gambling wins what?
Ig Nobles.
No, I mean, wait. Research on big ears, crocodile gambling wins Ig Nobles.
Yes.
Or Nobels.
Ig Nobles.
Ig Nobles?
Yeah.
Ig Nobels. I'm trying to connect the big ears and the crocodile thing together.
That's just two different things.
Okay.
Some of the
if stupid you say
stuff.
So.
Yes.
Scientists who discovered that really old men really do have big ears, that playing the didgeridoo helps relieve sleep apnea.
Really?
And that handling crocodiles can influence gambling decisions are among this year's recipients of the Ig Nobel. What is the Ig part?
I don't know.
The prize for absurd scientific achievement.
Aha.
We could compete in that one.
That's what it is.
The 27th annual awards were announced Thursday at Harvard University. The ceremony.
Harvard.
In the Harvard Yard.
At the Harvard University.
The ceremony featured a traditional barrage of paper airplanes, a world premiere opera, and real Nobel laureates. Did I say that right? Laureates?
Yep. That's
laureates.
Right. Yep.
That's a little too uppity for me to say laureates.
Laureates.
Yeah, I don't know. Handing out the 10 prizes. It's a strange honor to have, but I am thrilled, Dr. James Heathcote told the Associated Press. A British physician, Heathcote won the Ig Nobel for anatomy for his big ear research. Are you sure it's not Ig Nobel?
No, it's Ig Noble.
Ig Noble.
It's
no, that's
Ig
how
Noble.
You say. You also say Shia LaBeouf.
They didn't,
you always say
Shia LaBeouf, yeah. But they didn't call me about the big ear because, you know, I had a huge ear
for a
couple
of weeks.
Oh, that
is true. I forgot about
that.
You're right. When you said that, I didn't make that connection.
They did not call me.
I didn't hear what you were saying. The awards are sponsored by the scientific humor magazine Annals of Improbable Research, the Harvard Radcliffe Science Fiction Association, and the Harvard Radcliffe Society of Physics Students. This year's winners, who each receive $10 trillion cash prizes in virtually worthless Zimbabwean money. Also, these guys are pranksters from the beginning,
it's
aren't they?
It's awesome.
Also include scientists who used fluid dynamics to determine whether cats are solid or liquid, researchers who tried to figure out why some people are disgusted by cheese, and psychologists who found that many identical twins cannot tell themselves apart in visual images.
This is all for real, by the way.
This is awesome. Heathcote, whose study on ear size was published in the prestigious British Medical Journal in 1995, was inspired when he and several other general practitioners were discussing how they could do more research. When he asked why old men have such big ears, half his colleagues agreed with his observation, and the others scoffed. For his study, Heathcote measured the ear length of more than 200 patients and discovered not only that old men have big ears, but that ears grow about 2 millimeters per decade after age 30. Women's ears grow with age, too, but their ears are smaller to start with, and men's big ears may be more noticeable because they tend to have less hair, he found.
Ugh.
There's something magical about measuring the ears, he
really?
Said. Dr. Milo Puhan's Ig Nobel Peace Prize winning discovery is a godsend for anyone who lives with an unbearably loud snorer. He found that playing the didgeridoo...
That's pretty good.
I made that up right then. It really been more like this. That's maybe more like it.
That's a didgeridoo-doo.
Yeah, more like it. He found that playing the didgeridoo, a tubular Australian Aboriginal instrument that emits a deep rhythmic tone, helps relieve sleep apnea.
That is interesting. Very interesting.
You should start playing that around the house.
I probably should. Headline is, Kansas City man drops $3,000 diamond ring into pond during proposal.
Oh, no.
You know, we hear these stories every once in a while. Usually,
I've seen this before.
Usually they have happy endings, but this one, not so much. A Missouri man, hoping to spend the rest of his life with his girlfriend, ended up swimming in an algae-filled pond to desperately search for a $3,000 diamond ring he dropped during the proposal. Seth Dixon was proposing to his girlfriend, Ruth Solis, in Luce Park on Saturday when the diamond ring popped out of the tiny box he was holding and fell through the slats of the wooden bridge they were standing on.
Poor Seth.
It's absolutely real. I wish it wasn't, Dixon told the Kansas City Star. We freaked out, Solis added. It ping-ponged from one plank to another. You could hear a little plop.
Yeah, it couldn't ping-pong around and land on the wood.
No, absolutely. It had to slip through one of the little slots.
It had to magnetically, it was drawn to it.
The unfortunate moment was caught on camera by the couple's friend, Maddie Villarreal. Dixon, who was seen confidently kneeling down on one knee before dropping to his hands in an attempt to save the ring. Oh, my gosh, Dixon is heard saying with a look of shock on his face. He, Solis, and Villarreal went into the muddy water to try to find the ring. There was so much mud and nasty algae, Villarreal recaled. There were sticks going between my toes, not my cup of tea, but I didn't want to leave without the ring. Then it's just getting too dark, and the flashlight was dying. You know he's in panic mode at this time.
Oh, yeah. He was from the beginning.
It's going to sink into that mud, and you're going to – what a terrible thing. The couple went back the next day with a hired man with a metal – detector to locate the ring, but still with no luck. The couple eventually went to church later that Sunday, where attendees decided to join in on the search after hearing about the couple's story. We probably had 25 people there. I think we had like 12 people in the water all at once.
Well, by then, it was carried off by a catfish or something.
Wedding. Yeah, somebody's going to catch a fish one day.
Yeah, you got a ring. Yep.
Very nice ring inside. She snapped a photo of the ring search with several people in the swampy pond as the couple watched in despair. The search turned up empty. Dixon is now ringless and still making payments for the
diamond.
Maybe
somebody will chip in with, you know.
Kansas City Star reported. And I did read in a side story that somebody had started a GoFundMe for this guy.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds sad. Did she say yes?
Yes, she did. She did accept.
Oh,
yes.
Good. She said, I'll marry you if you go find that ring.
As soon as you find the ring is what she said.
Hey, you know the old Lizzie Borden story, right?
Lizzie Borden took an axe and gave her mother 40 whacks.
Yeah, and then something when she was done, she gave her father 41.
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah. Anyway, it was a freaky, scary story. Remember,
it really is. Alice Cooper wrote a song about it.
Well, but there was Elizabeth Montgomery from Bewitched. She played her. Am I correct on that?
I don't know.
And it just creeped me out. It was her.
Was it?
It was creepy. She's washing the blood in the basin and everything. All the blood off her. Well, I'm thinking, you know, you're lying there on the couch, you know, as we would do.
Absolutely.
And all of a sudden you look up, you go, oh, it's my daughter. Hey, honey. Ran your head with an axe.
What are you doing there? You going to cut some wood?
Yeah. That's weird. Where'd you get that axe? What's going on?
Hey, is that my good wax?
Hey, make me a sandwich.
Axe?
Yeah, right. For a cool... Oh, I didn't tell you what happened here.
No, go ahead.
Lizzie Borden's house, it's on the market.
Oh, I wouldn't live there. I don't know. I might. Depends on what it looks like.
Put it up on top of the grocery store.
Oh, it's on the market.
It's on the market.
I see.
For a cool $850,000, you can live under the same roof where Lizzie Borden lived after she was acquitted of brutally murdering her father and stepmother in Massachusetts.
So she was acquitted, was she?
This is a huge house.
That's a big old house.
The 4,000-square-foot Fall River mansion called Maplecroft, since very huge homes tend to get their own names, has 8 bedrooms, 3.5 bathrooms, and 6 fireplaces.
Well, that's not a bad price for a mansion like that.
Listing for the home, well, it does come with the sort of unsettling sounds in the middle of the night, creaking floors.
There's things that already live there, so to speak,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, right. Listings for the home, which, not to mention the fact that DNA is probably still stuck to something on that floor. Listings for the home, which understandably has been something of a tourist attraction, boast that it has touches that reflect the Borden history. This is not, however, where Lizzie Borden's once alleged crimes with an axe occurred. The murders, which happened in 1892 and for whom no one has ever convicted, took place a few miles from the mansion.
That
ruins everything we had to say about it.
She lived there.
I was about to plop down $800,000.
I was with you. I would have agreed with you.
Right.
Go buy it.
Yeah, yeah. But not now.
No, it's not worth it now.
Borden and her sister Emma inherited most of their father's wealth, some $10 million at today's rate. After his death, the sisters bought the mansion in 1894 with the money from their father's estate and named it Maplecroft. They lived quite lavishly.
I'm sure they did.
Employing live-in housekeepers and a coachman, among others. Townspeople kept their distance from Lizzie Borden. Yeah,
sure.
She's got a temper. Emma Borden moved out eventually, leaving her sister to live at Maplecroft with the staff.
They said, "Where's Lizzie?" And the other one said, "Go ax her."
Yeah, once you ask her,
ax her yourself.
Yeah. Maplecroft was bought in 2014 by Christy Bates of Texas. That's Norman's sister.
Yeah, Christy.
A murder mystery buff who plunked down $500,000. Bates considered turning the Queen Anne Victorian into a bed and breakfast museum and event center, according to the Boston Globe. She also painstakingly set out to restore details of the home to reflect the period in which the Borden family lived in, but plans never came to fruition.
Read that as she ran out of money.
She ran out of money. Lizzie Borden lived there under the name Lizbeth A. Borden until she died in 1927 after contracting. Listen to me. She made a contract with pneumonia.
She said, "You sign here, pneumonia."
After she contracted pneumonia.
Wow, Lizzie Borden.
Hey, let's get another snake story.
You want to? This is a good one, too.
I love this story.
Yeah, this is a funny one. Headline is, man tries to eat rattlesnake, but the snake bites back.
He says, look, I'm going to show you how to take this snake and cook him.
This comes to us from Phoenix, Arizona. A man was hospitalized after surviving a rattlesnake bite to the face while trying to show off to friends at a party attempting to cook the reptile on a barbecue grill. Victor Pratt, age 48, was bitten September 7th. He was first treated at the hospital near his Coolbridge, Arizona home and then transferred to Banner University Medical Center in Phoenix. Coolidge is nearby. But anyway, while celebrating his child's birthday with friends, Pratt said he decided to show them how to catch and cook a rattlesnake after one of the reptiles showed up in his yard during the party.
And the sad thing is the rattlesnake showed up with a couple bags of ice and some soft drinks.
Yeah, little party hats, too.
He was just there for the party.
Pratt, who was interviewed Friday, grabbed the venomous snake and was showing it off to friends and family, posing.
He grabbed it.
What an idiot.
Yeah, I'm just going to grab this rattlesnake.
Dangerous snake, posing for several photos, but he lost his grip on the snake's head and it attacked him. After being bit twice, once on the chest and once on the face, Pratt said he knew immediately that something was wrong. Yeah, you'd grabbed a snake, you ding dong.
Not to mention the fact that the damage these snakes do.
He said he had previously been bitten when he was age 19, so he knows what's coming.
Brain damage.
Yeah. I said, we got to go now because I know what's about to happen, Pratt said. He was taken immediately to a local hospital, which doctors said saved his life. He was also received doses of antivenom there. If an airway is not established in the first few minutes, in our experiences, less than 15 to 30 minutes, then those patients really don't have a chance to survive. So what if you're hiking? What if you were at Virgin Falls hiking and there was...
Like me, and I was real close
you're
to
gone.
Stepping on a snake.
Yeah, you're gone. You're as good as gone because you... 30 minutes?
I thought about that. And my vision being all jacked,
that's
I thought,
terrible.
I may look down and think it's a vine or something. It's actually a snake.
Curry said getting a tube inserted.
What does a snake playing a didgeridoo?
Oh, well, at least you'd sleep better that night.
That's true.
If they can get their airway established, they're very lucky, Curry said. That is, you're lucky to have been bitten and been able to make it to the hospital in just a few minutes in order to save those emergency procedures done and that saved your life. So Pratt was sedated as a procedure was being done. remained that way for 5 days, including his transport to the Phoenix Hospital. So he was under even for all that.
And you know what?
What?
No party.
No party, no barbecue snake. I wonder if the snake got away.
I'm rooting for the snake.
Well, if the snake
bites. I don't like snakes.
I don't either. I don't
but
like them.
I don't also think that this snake was showing up, you know, to be at the party and then get thrown on the grill.
That's terrible.
What if you showed up and they threw you on the grill?
Well, I'm not a snake.
Well, I mean, it's a matter of opinion.
I guess.
Woman shouted, "If you can't beat them, eat them." After biting detective.
Wow.
A young woman shouted, "If you can't beat them, eat them." After she bit a detective in a Garda station. What's a Garda station?
I don't know.
Megan McQuaid, 18, was arrested after she was involved in a traffic accident. Ms. McQuaid of Meadowbank Avenue was found by Garda standing in the middle of the road and was shouting and striking out at emergency services. She was a passenger in a car but was unhurt. She was taken by ambulance to the hospital but had to be accompanied by Garda because of her behavior.
It's supposed to be in France.
Something, because I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong.
Yep.
She was physically aggressive to hospital staff and was arrested for public order offenses and taken to Letterkenny Garda Station as she was being released into the care of her grandmother. When leaving Letterkenny Garda Station, she sank her teeth into the chest of a female Garda. As she did so, she shouted, "If you can't beat them, eat them."
That's hilarious.
Letterkenny, unless you're the person getting bitten.
No.
Letterkenny District Court heard how the accused broke through two layers of clothing and broke the skin of the Garda, causing her severe bruising. Solicitor Patsy Gallagher said his client, who pleaded guilty to public order and assault charges, had a severe history of drug abuse, both prescribed and unprescribed. Mr. Gallagher said Miss McQuaid was living with her grandmother, who had been searching for her at the time of the incident for a number of days. She was, where were they from, you think?
I think it was.
I did not know how to say it.
It's French.
She was in a drug confused. No, she's more Italian, apparently.
You think so?
She was in a, well, the way I'm saying it.
Yeah.
She was in a drug confused Hades, but she was in a very different place today, and she's trying her best.
Mr. Gallagher told the court. I don't know what I just said.
Okay, so here's what happened. This young lady was messed up on something. We don't know what it was, but she obviously wasn't driving. She was a passenger in one of the cars. They have this accident.
She gets out, flips out.
Yeah, she gets out, and the people are trying to help her, and she's being aggressive. So they arrest her, take her to the hospital, and they're going to take her to jail because of the public whatever she was doing. So on the way out, she screams.
She pulls out the incisors.
She screams, "If you can't beat them, eat them."
And she starts to eat somebody.
Takes a bite out of
She takes a bite.
She takes a bite out of somebody. Oh, my goodness.
Pikes a bike.
That's right.
If I get my page to change here, I would probably say something really clever like, "It's the Mark Patch top 10 list."
It is.
I couldn't get my page to switch over here. I'm having technology issues.
You know, in the past, we've done a Stephen King list. We've had top 10 Stephen King movies that were made. But tonight, it's actually top 10 Stephen King books.
I'm kind of upset here because my favorite one's not in here.
You know, a couple of...
It's technically not a book. It's a, what, novella.
Oh, novella. Was it The Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon?
No.
Which one?
The Mist.
Oh, The Mist was awesome.
Why
yeah.
is it not in this list? Because it's not a full book?
No, yeah. That's it.
No,
it was,
yeah.
Yeah, that's it, because it was part of his short story
All
collection.
Right, let's just get down to this.
All right, number 10, Carrie, which I've never read, but I love the movie.
The movie is great.
Yeah.
Number 9. Cujo. I just watched that movie recently because I thought it was a horrible movie, but I wanted to watch it again just to see if it was still horrible to me.
Yeah, and is it?
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, I didn't read that one either. Number 8, 11-22-63.
Watch the miniseries.
I read the book and watched the miniseries. Both of them are fantastic.
The miniseries is fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I was sorry. When it was over, I was sad.
Oh, so good. And the book was the same way. The book was as good.
Number 7. Pet Sematary.
I read the book and saw the movie
now,
on that one, too.
I'm going to say right up front here, the only book I've ever read, which, again, it wasn't a full book, was of his. Not the only book I've ever read ever.
Yeah.
Is The Mist. I don't think I tried to read some of his other stuff. I couldn't get into it. But I like the movies a lot of times.
Yeah.
So
I've read 7 of these top 10 books.
So number 7 is Pet Sematary, which I enjoyed the movie.
Yeah, it was good. It had Fred.
Fred Gwynn.
Yeah, Fred Gwynn in it. Number 6, Misery.
Love the movie.
That was a really good book, too. And that was one of those Stephen King books where there was nothing really supernatural. You know,
well,
it was
like Shawshank or something, which is not called Shawshank. It's called
I don't remember
something about whatever. It's a pinup the poster.
What's That's her? Right. The somebody came to
the actress.
Yeah,
yeah. Anyway,
Rita Hayworth.
It's Rita Hayworth. The poster he hides the hole behind right when he's digging out.
Yeah.
Number 5, Salem's Lot.
Yep, that's a good one.
I enjoyed the it was a TV movie, really, right?
No, it was a movie movie.
It was a movie movie?
Yep.
Was it a movie or TV movie?
Number four, the
Heebie-Jeebies?
Green.
Was it Heebie-Jeebies?
Number four is one of those movies you can see anytime you want to because it's always on cable on some
filmed
channel.
Filmed in Tennessee.
The Green Mile.
Yeah, filmed
which
in
was released as a serial novel.
Oh, that's your like I said, delicious cereal.
It was good. Every 2 weeks, a new couple of chapters came out.
Green Mile was very good, amazing cast. It was just a good movie.
Very good.
I'm talking about the movie now. But
both were good.
Yes. Number three?
Yep.
The Stand.
Yes. That was good.
Didn't see it.
You didn't see it? No. It was a miniseries.
Yeah, I didn't watch that. Number two, probably the weirdest of all those movies.
Number two is one of my favorite Stephen King books.
The Shining.
The Shining,
but
yes.
I understand the book is completely different from what they did in the movie.
Yeah, pretty much.
Kubrick did some really
it
weird.
Was, well, Kubrick had, the, you know, he's living with the fact that he didn't film the moon landing on the moon. He filmed it in the day.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, and so he kind of tried to use his opportunity to let the world know, look, I did not film did not land on the moon and film it.
I love the look of that movie, though.
Yeah, it's really stylistic.
I love Scatman Crothers.
Number one, very popular
right now.
Wasn't
that mine? I thought you did Shining.
No, you did The Stand and The Shining.
Did I really?
Yes, you did. I'm jumping in there.
I'm hogging in and taking them all, aren't I?
Number one,
top 10 Stephen King books.
It. Really good.
That's got the clown.
That book freaked me out. I read it when it first came out.
Okay. So the book is always better than the movies.
True. Most of the time.
The miniseries is very dated. I haven't seen the original miniseries with Richard
Forrest
Thomas.
Forrest Gump was a much better movie than a book, by the way.
Okay, well, so is it the book better than these movies
yeah,
so far?
Yeah, it is. It really is.
Because it leaves your imagination to take care of it.
It's huge, man.
It's huge. It's got a huge
book.
Clown.
That's going to wrap up episode 109, Craig.
That one went quick.
But you know what?
You know what? This is Friday,
yep.
Saturday, Sunday, three more days.
That's right. You'll see
3 days. You get to talk to us again.
We'll be back on Monday.
Oh, that's crazy. Can't stop us.
Check us out. WeirdNewsPodcast.com. Leave us a voicemail. Tell your friends.